How many people like tradition? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, right? Everybody has traditions. There's things that they like to do. Some of y'all already got your sweaters on, all your bling on them. Some people like Santa hats. Some people like mistletoe. Some of y'all really like mistletoe. Why does everybody get quiet when I talk about mistletoe? Wreaths on the door, bright lights. If you notice, you'll see lights and greenery. We have it here at the church. Look around. Trees with lights lit up, flashing. And I like tradition. I think tradition's good. I think what traditions are for is when you have something in your life that you want to preserve and you want to pass it on from generation to generation, that's why you have traditions. And you don't do them just because they feel good to you. You do them because they're important and they matter. And so why do I say that? Because, well, it's okay to have traditions, and I think they're all good. As long as you don't forget the reason behind why you're having the event. Amen, Pastor. Because none of us need to be captivated by all of the festivities while we neglect the very reason that we're having the event in the first place. And it's so easy to get our consciousness shifted. I don't think it's intentional. I really don't. Now, for some it may be, but for most, I really don't. I just think we get so caught up into the fun of it. And do you like to have fun? I like to have fun. But sometimes you can get so caught up into the lights and enamored with what's going on around you that we can forget, what are we celebrating? And unfortunately, there are generations where festivities have been passed down, but they don't understand the true meaning. We used to say Christmas in my generation because everybody knew what it meant. Christ had to be at the front end of the word. Then through the generations, they actually started putting an X in front of the mus. Exodus, remember that? And now they just simply call it holidays. Holiday means you get off work. Holiday means it's just a time of fun. But what about a holy day instead of a holiday? What about Christ in Christmas? What about the tradition? What is the reason we have this entire tradition? Why do we have bright lights? Why do we have trees with blinking lights? Why do we have tinsel? Why do we have eggnog, hot chocolate, all the things we have, the Christmas candies, the festivities? Why do we have it? One word, the birth of Christ. And I am all about celebrating using all of these others' festivities, their traditions that people have gotten into with their families. I think they're beautiful. I think they hold families together. I think it gives people each and every year something to look forward to. There's nothing worse than a boring Christmas party. Just one thing worse, a boring birthday party. So if this is a boring birthday party, and you make Christmas so religious that you can't have the festivities, then I think we need to revisit what we're doing. However, if you're so focused on the festivities, you've forgotten the reason, we definitely need to go back and examine what we're doing. So is there a balance? Of course there is. And so the whole reason, I don't think, really and truly, I don't think Jesus cares if I wear a sweater with blinking lights when I praise him. Matter of fact, I think he likes it. Because now I'm really getting some attention. He said, well, your whole heart. Well, if your heart's like blinking lights and sweaters and you're wearing one and you're giving that praise to God, knock yourself out. So I just want to shake some of the weird out of Christmas just getting started. And it's okay to be a part of festivities, but we cannot lose the focus of why we are celebrating. It has to be preeminent. It has to be all cultured or cultivated around this event. And you know, you may look at this and say, this is kind of a strange Christmas message. Not really. Because when we look in the Old Testament in Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Now that is from a prophet thousands of years ago who was predicting because a people were in need. There was a people that had legitimate need. They could not save themselves. They were under law that they could not seem to get it right. And they continually failed to where the nation kept offending God to the point where they were being beaten down, being destroyed by their enemies, and it was all because of one main enemy. Can somebody say Satan? And so there was a real enemy that was causing the enemies to come against them, and you have a prophet now that's speaking to the future. And he's saying, but don't worry, God didn't forget about his people, and there will be help on the way. And then when you look at Matthew 1:3, we cross over into the New Testament, and we see the virgin will conceive. Now it's Matthew talking. And give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So from old covenant being prophesied to new covenant being fulfilled, we see the birth of Jesus. That's Christmas. Now, no matter what you want to read, no matter how you want to hear it, how you want to have it, that is the Christmas story. Now, I like this particular terminology that's used is, you know, when you're looking at the Old Testament, it's the Old Testament is Christ, you know, he's coming into existence, he's prophesying, he's being prophesied about because he is needed, but he is concealed from that generation. And so through this concealing, in the New Testament, he is revealed. Old Testament concealed, New Testament revealed. I like that terminology. And I know many of you have been taught that. But I have to take it a little further. Because you need to see what happened during and what transpired. Because this goes all the way back to the garden. And we get this term, Emmanuel, and we think this is a prophetic term only for Jesus. But wait a minute. If you'll remember when God was in the garden, he was walking with Adam. He was Emmanuel then. He was designed as Emmanuel. He was God with man. Why did he create man? So he would have somebody to take a walk with. And man and mankind and all that he created would serve him as he served them. And so he makes a perfect world. He tries to make perfect people. And then a real enemy changes that. Satan comes in. And through sin, we see the whole process corrupted. And so even God walking with Adam, he couldn't keep the covenant. He failed in the Adamic covenant. So the relationship had to change. Now, through banishment and punishment, they begin to live their lives. Now they were separated from God. So now they could talk about what God had promised. They had to live by a promise. They no longer had God present walking with them. Are you following me? They were separated. They put a flaming cherubim. No one was left with a sword. If they found the entry, they could not enter the garden. Separate, say separated. And so since they were separated from God, they were living under the punishments of God, which was a different covenant. So man, the ground was cursed. You know, and so he had to work by the sweat of his brow. The woman, she had to suffer childbirth now. So then they have two children. Now you have two children. Watch this. The rest of the covenant's intact. It was just the punishments that were given. And even with covenants intact, that close to the history of walking with God, knowing God is real, seeing the effects of God, everything in part of God, how many people know that generation failed too? So much so that it ended in murder. And it said, because blood was shed, that shed blood was sown into the earth, and the earth cried out. That blood cried out of the earth. So now we have another problem God's got to deal with. He's got to deal with the earth crying out for redemption because it had to be made right. Now we're talking about blood covenants. You say, is this a Christmas or an Easter message? If you don't understand this, you don't understand either one. You have to know why Jesus was born. And so we see the blood covenant, the beginning of the blood covenant. Now, there has to be recompense for blood. And so we move into a different realm. Now, you could keep going on from there. And all you see in the Old Testament, I'm going to make this so simple. The rest of the Old Testament is nothing more than man trying to find help, and the people they put in leadership keep failing them. Just follow it. They wanted a leader, God gave them leaders. They failed. They wanted kings, they failed. They wanted judges, they failed. So it got so bad that every man just did what they thought was right in their own mind. It got that bad. And then what the prophet Isaiah spoke, Matthew declared, at that time, at that manger, when Christ entered, we have to understand what happened. God said, I'm separated. And we've tried everything humanly possible. We've given them the best leaders. We've given them the word. We've given them the law. We've shown them examples. There was even righteous men in the earth. And they still couldn't get it right. So God said, since you can't come to me, I'm going to come to you. But God was separated by man through his own word. Did you lose me there? He's the one who banished. He's the one who put a flaming sword. He's the one that said that the seed of a woman would bruise the head of the serpent. So somewhere in all this, there has to be, I call that an escape clause. That was a clause where God could find a way back to man, since man could not find the way back to God. Are you with me? So watch this. God overpowers Mary. The angel said it would happen. Gabriel shows up and told them what would happen. And Mary gave permission, her consent. She gives verbal consent. Let your word be so, as it is. And the Holy Spirit overshadows or overpowers, overtakes Mary. Now, what does that mean? Okay, everything in the earth realm is every seed produces after its own kind. You can't plant a tomato in a womb and get a baby. There are some things that grow in wombs, there's some things that grows in soil, but every seed will produce after its own kind. Why? Because it was set in Genesis that way. And as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will be in effect. So when you get a birth, it's just a harvest. And so how can God come to man? Because he can't walk with man. So how is he going to get here? He climbs into a seed. Implants himself into Mary's womb. And because he plants a seed in Mary's womb, the word became flesh. God grew into the flesh. But there's part of the story, don't let that be deep, just get it. This is what happened. This is how it happened. We have to talk about it. Yes, it's deep, but you need to understand it. But here is the part that we've left out. Watch this. Philippians 2:7. It says, he took on, put up Philippians 7 sermon, 2, verse 7. Do you see that? It said he made of himself no reputation. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Now, the NIV said, listen to these terms, he emptied himself out. That's what that means. He emptied himself out, taking on the form of a servant. Emptied himself out. What does that mean? That means before he even got into the seed, all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the majesty, all of heaven, all of the things that were created to serve him, he emptied himself out of everything he had to get into a seed so he could get to where we are to serve the thing that was created to serve him. Are you seeing this? God himself came into mankind to be with us again. Emmanuel. So he could be with us and serve us and show us the way. Every man had failed. Every leader had failed. Every prophet had failed. So somewhere there has to be a fulfillment of God's word. And so it was through seed of a woman. There's no man's seed involved. It was him implanting into the womb her seed, the woman that produced the child. But you see a clear delineation. He was the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. Separate but distinct. Separate but unified. Can you see this? He's two things at the same time. I'm going somewhere. Don't lose me here. Two things at the same time. But he laid down his own glory so you could have his. How's that for a Christmas present? Some people say, I didn't get anything for Christmas. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. And I don't care what you can say, what you can think, what you can come up. It's not better than what I just told you. You just don't know your gifts there. You haven't opened it up yet. You have not. It's not been revealed to you. Because if it was revealed to you instead of being concealed, you would be a lot more excited about what this holiday is presenting. It's not just about a birthday. It's about something new coming into the earth. Something new coming into the earth. And when it comes into the earth, it will always come through a seed. Did you hear me? It will always come through a seed. And that seed is Christ. Man couldn't do it for himself. So God had to step in, and he had to do it for us. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. So finally, we see Holy Communion. He said, this is my body that was broken for you. And he tells you to partake of it, depending on the translation, receive it. Take it in. Why? Because he fulfilled everything he said that he would do. The covenant of blood was fulfilled at Calvary when he shed his blood. So therefore, what was calling for the earth becomes squelched. There was no more calling from the earth because the debt had been paid. So redemption had been fulfilled and come and returned to mankind. So if you understand that his word was fulfilled, then when you we receive Holy Communion, you can understand that when he says, watch this, do this in remembrance of me. Another translation says, when you do this, think about me. What do you mean, think about me? Think about what I just taught you. You don't think about, oh, I think about Jesus. That's not what that whole, you have to read the whole verse. This is my body. He tells the story of what he did all the way to, can you imagine being God and having to wait 9 months in a womb? Okay, you don't get it. So there is no time with God. Time revolves around God. So God's in a timeless world. He waits for nothing. He has everything all the time. So you take a God who has everything all the time, who has everything all the time, anytime, all the time. And he puts himself in a 9-month holding pattern where for the first time in history, he has to wait. God has to wait. You're not seeing it. For the first time in history, God is confined. For the first time in history, God has to make himself a child. Okay, we got to take it deeper. You want to go deeper. He has to make himself helpless. He renders himself helpless. An infant is helpless. Are you starting to see what the birth of Jesus was all about? Then 30 years in a time frame before he could release what was in him to be able to fulfill. Man, we want to go start something, do something for God. We're in it about 3 years deep, and we're already feeling the stress. We're already feeling the pressure. We're like, man, God, how long is this going to take? It took God 30 years. I don't know. Nobody in here would do this, but anybody here ever fuss about church? I can't believe the pastor said that. I'll tell you right now, I think he was preaching to me. Did you tell him, were you talking to that pastor? I get it all the time. They'll come up to me and they'll be like, all right, who are you talking to? What are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Who's been telling you what's going on? No, God just thought enough of you to use somebody like me to speak to you about things that I have no idea about, but you seem to know everything that's going on. Why? Because that's how the Holy Spirit talks. He works through anointings, and he works through giftings, and he will get your attention if you'll just listen. And so in this new season, we need to understand that it's all about what's being imparted into us. We put his word into us. We got to get it imparted into us. We have to take on the form of a servant. It's time. He served us. Now we have got to return that service. For some reason, I don't know if it's just the environment of nature, the way things have transpired politically. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the pressures that are in the world. I don't know if it's fear or anxiety. Maybe it's the internet. I don't know. But for some reason, being service-minded at the church seems to be getting harder and harder. I'm just being honest. I'm the pastor. Reminds me of the joke. When the lady came in to the man and said, get up, we're going to church. He goes, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. I'm not going. She says, you are. I'm not going to church. Get up, I said. She said, give me one good reason. I tell you, give me two good reasons. He said, number one, you're 40 years old. Number two, you're the pastor. I have been there. So I'm going to tell you, there is, I think it's an assignment that's been brought, a spirit that's been brought against the church. That's what I believe it is. Man, you used to say, hey, we're going to go trim some trees. We'd have so many people. We didn't have enough tools. We'd have to make jobs for people. Okay, you stand around, and if there's a shaving hits the ground, you take a broom and you start sweeping. We're making up stuff because we wanted everybody to have a job. Man, you have a church work day today. You don't have enough people to make a good volleyball game. And I just believe that at least the glory to him, that spirit is breaking off. I do. I feel it. This crowd is different. This crowd, we asked to do something, and it's like old times. It's like you're coming forward. You're like, yes, I'll be glad to help. Sometimes we'll look at each other going, you know, we're pinching ourselves. Is this real? And that's the way it should be. That's the way it needs to be. Because if God can leave his throne from heaven, step down and come and serve you on a daily basis, then I think we could maybe spend a little time helping his kingdom. That's just my thought. Seems like we would want to. You know, we want to help him. I don't know. If God never did one more thing for me, he's already done way more than I deserve. But you know what? He keeps doing stuff anyway. How many people here would just attest this morning and say, he just keeps blessing me? I'll tell the truth. There's times I did not deserve it. No, I don't deserve half the blessings I get. How many times have you done something you knew you weren't supposed to do? Said something away to somebody, treated them a certain way. You know that wasn't how you were supposed to do it. And that day, God blessed you anyway. You got blessed. Did you earn that? Was that
sowing and reaping?
No. Thank God that time you didn't get what you were sowing. That is how God, that's how much he loves you. He's trying to still be an example to you. He's still serving you, even when you don't deserve it. Why? Because he's trying to show us how to treat others. We are the church. We are his reflection. We are him in the earth. He is in us now. When we knelt our knee down to salvation, the Holy Spirit overtook us, planted his spirit inside of us. And now Jesus isn't with us. Jesus is in us. And so now it's God in us, not God with us. A better covenant with a better set of promises. Now it's God in us. How much more should we reflect the love of God? How much more should we reflect the service of God? How much more should we want to help and bless people? Missed the mute there, sorry. How much more? I'm just asking questions. I'm not singling anybody out. I'm just making us think a little bit. Because the title of today's message is, what are you thinking about? Jesus said, when you do this, think about me. So if it's Christmas, yeah, it's okay to take the kids to sit on Santa's lap. It's fun to go put reindeer in the front yard, spray some snow on the windows, put some wreaths up. We've got wreaths up. But what are you thinking about? They should all point to something. And they do. They point to the gifts under the tree, which are representative of the gifts of Christ that he continually gives us on a daily basis. As we give to others, then he gives back to us. Amen. The simple Christmas story, simple Christian message. So Holy Communion is a serious thing, and that's what we're about to do right now. So if you have your communion, if you'd start getting it prepared, have fun the festivities. We want you to have fun. But please remember, what are you thinking about? I don't know what you've been thinking about or what you've been focused on, but I'm going to ask you now to stay your mind upon the Lord. Now, don't open them up yet. I just want you to get them ready. And I want you to hold it in your hand, actually. Just hold it like this. You know what this stands for? He said, do this in remembrance. What are we remembering? You know what this is? It's a way. It's a way to change your life. It's a way for God to enter your life. It's a way to spend eternity with Him and not burning in a fiery hell that is real. It's a way. What you hold in your hand is a way. But He said, you don't take this communion unless you are worthy to take it. Are you worthy by yourself? Nobody in here is good enough to be able to receive this communion. But aren't you glad in His word, there's an escape clause, there's a way, there's a truth, and it gives you life. Romans 10:9 says, if you just believe on Him, believe He is who He says He is, believe He does what He says He'll do. And then you just confess that. As you believe it in your heart, confess that with your mouth. And if you do, the Lord says you'll be saved. Then you can become one with Him. And once you're one with Him, from that moment forward, you'll always want to do this to remember that great moment in your life. It's a tradition. This is one tradition I never want you to forget. This is one tradition Jesus Himself does not want you to forget. Do this in remembrance of me. So before we receive the Holy Communion, I have to ask you, if you're here today and you have never asked the Lord, I mean, you've never asked Him in your heart and said, Lord, would You be my Lord and Savior? You never prayed that prayer. I don't know, maybe you prayed the prayer, but, you know, life just kind of hits us funny sometimes, and we don't mean to, but we just get separated from God again. We just get away from Him. You know, the reason why you're here today is because God's calling you back, and you know that's why you're here. So I'm telling you, there's no time like the present to make a change that'll have a lasting impact for the rest of your life. One decision changes eternity for you. And we hold it right here in our hand. This is all that stands between you and the blessings and eternity with God. So before we receive the communion, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity to make that prayer of confession. If you believe Jesus was the Son of God and He died on a cross for your sins, if you believe that, if you believe that He was that sacrifice, that God put Himself in His seed to become a sacrifice for you, so the earth blood covenant could be satisfied and not always calling against you, working against you. You are no longer under curse, but you will be living under blessing. If that's you, and you want to do that today, nobody's going to call you out. I'm not going to make this weird for you or anything. But we're all going to say a prayer in just a minute. And it's not important that you hear me say the prayer. It's not important that you hear the people around. But it's important that you hear yourself making that prayer and that proclamation of confession. Now, I do, though, like to know who I'm, when I see the ones that are, I like to know who I'm agreeing with in prayer. Again, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you, any of that. Christ was not ashamed to die for you in public. You shouldn't be ashamed to receive him in public. But if that's you today and you said, you know, today I'm going to get this right. I want to make that prayer, Pastor. Just let me see who that is. Can you just raise your hand? We're all going to pray, but can I just see your hand today? If you would raise your hand and say, today I just want to give my life to the Lord, or I want to come back to the Lord. Let me come down here. You know, it's amazing. I've sat in these pews for many, many years. I've sat in pews elsewhere for a lot of years as well. A lot of those years, I wasn't living right. I just wasn't living right. I won't even tell you what all that means, but you already know what that means. Stuff I had to get fixed. So I always thought, well, you know what? I want to go to church, but I got to go get myself cleaned up. How many people have heard that lie? Yeah, I'm going to try to do better so I can be worthy to go to church. You're never going to be worthy to come to church. The church is what helps you to become worthy. Church is like a hospital. That's where you come when you're the sickest that you could possibly be. That's when you're the sickest in your souls, when you need to be in church. We've had alcoholics stagger right in here drunk and couldn't even recite their name. Fall down on a pew right here in church. So glad to see them. You've made it to the right place. Welcome home. And I've watched them say that prayer when they say like this, talk like this, and they're praying, but they got saved. I've had them where their eyes look like fried eggs because they smoke so much pot. Full of so many drugs, they're seeing four of me when they're saying the prayer. But all four of us, all five of us actually said the prayer together. And they got saved. God's not looking for perfection. You're never going to earn it. He wants you just like you are. You know, he took me just like I was. I still don't figure out why. I don't know why. If anybody doesn't deserve to be doing what they're doing, it's me. My God. But if God will do it for me, what will he do for you? So I would like to just go on and be cute and go do communion and go on home, but unfortunately, there's this gift of discernment, and you know when there's somebody in the congregation because the Lord speaks to my heart, and you know when something needs to be made right. And so I wouldn't feel right if I didn't give you every opportunity to be able to make that right with God. So right before we pray here, I'm going to ask one more time. I just want to look across the house. Please don't be shy. This could be the difference between you and eternity. So, if you're in here today, you'd either like to accept the Lord or you'd like to just come back into good standing with him. Let me just see your hand. Can you just slip your hand up real quick? I'm just asking as a pastor. Is there anyone? Two of you. I'm not through. I know it's hard. You know, I could make everybody close their eyes, and I'm sure that might make you feel more comfortable, but the Lord won't release me to do that. So I'm going to ask you one more time, and whatever it is, I'm going to move on from here. But the Lord doesn't stop me two different times in service if it's not important. But he wants you to know that he's serious. So this is for you. He's stopping this service for you. And it's just a simple raise your hand and we pray. Everybody prays. Nobody's pulling you out. Nobody's going to embarrass you at all. But the Lord needs to know that you're serious because he is. So one more time, no pressure on anybody, but I'm going to sleep good tonight because I did my part. I'm like the prophet Ezekiel. I've released the word. Now it's on you. So if that's you today, and you just like when we're praying to include you in that prayer to make sure that you're the one receiving salvation, let me see your hand. Just lift it up. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Just lift it up. Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else? Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Anyone? Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? Is there anyone else? Thank you for that hand, sweetheart. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Yeah, now the hands are going up. Guys, this isn't a game. This is your life. This is forever we're talking about. It's a long time. Is there anyone else before we pray? Is there anyone else? Did everyone raise their hand? There's many hands. Thank you for that hand, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for that hand back there. Thank you for being honest. Anyone else looking on this side? Okay. Now, I got to get myself together here for a minute. You have to understand. What just happened right there is why I committed my life to ministry 34 years ago. This is why I said, Lord, I'll serve you. I'll go anywhere. God knows I have been everywhere. And I would give up anything. It's for that. Just people getting real. I don't care about the others. I don't care about the lights and the fame. People say, oh, are you excited to be a part of TBN? If it brings souls, yes. Do I give a hoot about being on TV? No. I do it because it wins souls. It draws people. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Because now God can deal with what he needs to deal with in your life. You've done the hardest part. You've told the truth. God will meet you where you are. Could we all stand and pray that prayer together out of reverence for God? Please, everyone, just repeat after me. And just remember, after you say amen, when you say amen, that's it. It's sealed. The deal is sealed. Jesus gets up, walks over, writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of heaven's rejoicing. It's like a big party. All of heaven, can you imagine what that sounds like with all those angels cutting up? That's what's about to happen when we say amen. That's if one is saved. And we had hands up all over. So if you don't mind, after we say amen, if we can celebrate just a moment with heaven, especially in this season where we're giving back gifts back to God. His plan was to come to redeem you. The redeemed are coming back. The redeemed are saying so. And so please just bow your head and repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me, cleanse me, make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. And you are now my Lord. I believe it, now confess it, and that settles it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give heaven a rejoicing. Come on, celebrate in this house right now. Wow. I want to thank everyone here because every time there is a soul saved, understand, everyone that's contributing to this vision, that also goes onto your account. And it sure feels good to know that on the week of Jesus' birthday, not only have we received the gift, but we've sent some gifts back home. So if you will, like to lead us through communion. If you have, you may now tear off that top and pull out that little wafer. And let's hold that up. It says, and when he had broken the bread and he gave thanks, he said, take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You can partake. You can now pull the foil off the top of a non-alcoholic wine. Said after the cup, the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This ye do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. In other words, when you do it, think about me. So before we drink, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Say it again. What are you thinking about? Let's do it in remembrance of him. Father, I thank you for such a wonderful, wonderful birthday. Lord, we hope that you are blessed by our faithfulness. We hope that you're blessed by our life, that we live a sacrificial life before you in the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, we ask that there be abundance for every family. We ask that there be no sickness among us. We ask, Lord, that health abounds, and so does our prosperity. Lord, keep us, guide us, guard us for the next dispensation, Lord. And most of all, prepare our hearts to be able to better serve you in this new year that's coming forth. So today we turn our lives, our hearts, our minds, every part of us to you, God, and we say, happy birthday, Jesus. Happy, happy birthday, Jesus. We love you, we appreciate you, and we honor you. Amen. Amen. Now, just before we go, everyone was given a candle. And what we're going to do is we're going to light this candle. And if you will, when the ushers light you going down the aisle, turn and light your neighbors and just keep lighting it down the line. And I love a candlelight service because it's just like magic when you see the congregation all unified. We've had such a beautiful time here together this morning. Please make sure that you keep it away from your hair and the people's hair around you. We are lights for the world, not torches. Is everybody lit, ushers? Is there anybody that's not lit? Do you have a light? Okay, it looks like everybody is lit up. Hold these up. And just gently, don't spill the wax, but just gently hold it upright, but just sway a little bit. And I want you to look around this congregation. I was in Israel one time, Pastor Nice and I, and we were sitting in a boat on Lake Gennesaret in the Sea of Galilee. And when we got there, it was daylight, and I'd looked and I'd seen this city up on a hill. And I kind of noticed it, but I didn't think much of it. Well, by the time we got back to the boat, it was just getting dark. And the guy said, you remember the story when Jesus said, look, and he pointed to the city on a hill. He said, a city on a hill cannot be hid. He said it was about the same time of day, it's believed, that that's when that story happened. Because when you looked up, I don't know why, but I hadn't looked up again. And when I looked back, I saw the city, but I saw it like this. Because all the lights were on. It didn't look anything like the city in the daytime. Matter of fact, I could hardly see the city in the daytime. But when I saw the lights, it was magnificent. It was fantastic. It stood out. It was different from everything else on the horizon. That's what Jesus was telling us. When he called us lights of the world, we're to stand out. We don't look, we're his glory. We manifest. We don't look like anything else around us. And light stands out from the darkness. But the darkness needs the light. And so we, hold them up, are to take our lights out into this world this year. Let's make a difference. Let's bring some souls and send them back home to kingdom. Let's make a difference in the lives of people around us. Let's, as a church, change this community, change this area. Heck, as a church, let's just go ahead and change the world while we're at it. We're unified. We're together. We all go. We all go together. So one more time, let's just wave them back and forth slowly like that. Look, I want you to look across. Isn't that beautiful? Such unity. Guys, sing Silent Night. It's beautiful. Come on, everybody, let's sing. Wait, don't load up one person with all your candles.